Ooh, sorry.
You shocked me.
You're shocking. We have, our love is electric.
Our love is electric.
Our love is electric. You have that voice.
Our love is I got that product for awesome voice. Hello, everyone.
Where also, smiling hurts a little bit because I cut my lip open on a watermelon. I'm getting this as close to us as possible. It'll decrease the hiss if we're closer to it.
Okay.
Sorry about the hiss, everybody. The hiss will be gone next week. I'm waiting for a piece of equipment to arrive in the mail. I dropped my mic. I'm using a different mic, but this mic needs a different setup.
It's a whole thing.
You don't care.
Podcasting, it's complicated.
Apparently. I got iTunes open.
You did?
I did. I don't know what I did different. But it didn't even ask me for my password this time.
Sorry, I'm just writing an email to my parents with explicit instructions about how to make a donation to Project for Awesome without claiming a perk.
I'm Hank Green, and I'm internet famous.
And I'm Catherine Green. Not.
Not internet famous. Together, we're about to take a look back at the last week in our lives and in the world by reading, discussing, and critiquing my tweets. Welcome to...
Delete This!
Catherine, we're going to start out by looking at the top tweet of the week as determined by Twitter. Twitter put out a moment that was the most relatable tweets of the week.
Oh, they
did? I just picked the top one.
Oh, good for them. Weirdly, they're like coming right up on it.
Yeah, helping me out with these.
Oh, and it is this one. Was it that one?
Catherine actually showed me this tweet before I saw it.
I did.
You introduced me to this tweet. It says, why do British people still eat like they're in the 1800s and don't have electricity? It's a BBC Look North tweet. It says, Yorkshire, we have an important question. Christmas cake with or without cheese?
Oh.
And they did a poll.
But, like, first of all, the picture attached to it is like
just
the worst thing I've ever seen.
They got a paper plate. A big long slice of aged cheddar is what it looks like.
Definitely looks like mature cheddar.
Gross fruity cake looks like more raisin than flour.
You know what it is.
And then crumbly.
The thickest, driest icing you can imagine. I mean, I've never seen a less appetizing food photo.
Yeah, especially of a cake. I'm like, yeah, no, put cheese on that plate because I'm not going to enjoy the cake. At least I like the cheese.
I'll just eat the cheese, thanks.
And then they did a poll, and it's exactly 50-50 final results after 4,700 votes. 50% of people said, yes, of course, with cheese.
Yeah, and 50% said, no.
Without cheese.
Without cheese.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
And then there's people
a lot of reactions.
A lot of confusion gifs.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, everybody's got an opinion.
Maybe we should go to the north of England and have Christmas cake.
I mean... I'll go there, but that's not going to be the reason.
That's not why you're going.
Mm-mm.
Frankly, I'm down for whatever your Christmas tradition is. You can put whatever you want on that plate with that cake. God bless the holidays. just take a little time off, get cozy, and...
Nice to think about something
else.
It's nice to think about cake.
Yeah, let's just think about cake. I want lots of cake tweets. Catherine Valenti tweeted this. Tumblr banning NSFW content is like Facebook banning baby photos and poorly made political memes.
I know, man. That's what Tumblr's for.
It's what Tumblr's for. It's
I mean,
not just
like,
what it's for.
Right, but like that's
it's
a lot of what it's for.
And it's not just that like it's for, you know, nudity.
No.
It's to be a place
right.
where they're like, it isn't just bland... acceptable, safe for work kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a place to go.
That's what Tumblr is for.
But like,
that's what I mean. It's for not safe for work
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
Not for nudity, yeah. but not safe for work stuff.
Right. It's where you go and you're like, look, I'm over here on my Tumblr getting real about stuff right now. I can't say this on my Twitter.
Yeah.
People are going to find that.
Yeah.
This is for the stuff where I know that no one is going to find this when they Google me for my job search.
Right.
Don't put your Tumblr... On your resume. That's, no one does that.
Yeah, don't attach your real name to your Tumblr.
Oh, gosh. So that was a bit of a piece of rough news. Came back to Tumblr. I've been enjoying it. And then, and it just is clear to me that, like, it's a hard thing to make work. You know, like, it is hard, like, just generally, it's hard to make these platforms work. Twitter is seeing that Facebook is seeing that. YouTube is seeing that. The biggest players in the industry are seeing that it's hard to have, like, to, like, be a place on which the social stuff happens and not have, like, terrible things occur that decrease the appreciation for or the value of your thing that is very valuable. And Facebook's struggling with that hugely right now, to the point where, like, I wouldn't be surprised in 10 years if Facebook was a lot less relevant than it is right now. But, yeah. like, but Tumblr, I think that it sort of, like, hit its peak in relevancy a while ago, also got acquired by a company that hit its peak in relevancy a long time ago, then was left Yahoo, and now is part of Oath, whatever that is. It's like Verizon.
Seriously.
God, pay attention to all that.
Help and, me, I don't understand.
Yeah, I literally do not. And then you have on top of that the problem of, like, particularly being a not safe for work space probably makes it harder to sell advertising. And so when we are trying to function on a world where no one pays for anything,
yeah,
and we're pretending like that's how it should be, I don't know. Like, we end up with those places making decisions that we wouldn't agree with, and also we realize that we do not have ultimate control over the places that we live in. We do not have voting rights. We do not get to tell them. We don't get to, like, vote out the mayor of Tumblr Town. Rhett and Link tweeted, kiss chocolate chip, marry oatmeal raisin, kill snickerdoodle. Don't add us. Actually, do add us. We want to know. And I said, kiss Lofthouse cookies, marry molasses, kill weird flavored Oreos. What about you, Catherine?
That's going to take me a while. There's so many cookies.
There's a lot of cookies.
Marry oatmeal raisin, though?
I know. I guess if you want, like, if you're only going to eat one cookie every day forever, you want, like, a one that has a higher glycemic index or whatever.
Lower glycemic
index? I don't know.
I like how they made it kiss, marry, kill, too. So PG.
Well,
over
I mean,
Red
you
Link.
Don't want to, you don't want to fuck a cookie. What was that face?
No, I mean, if you wanted to, though, it would be one of them Lofthouse ones. So soft. Really oily.
All right. Hit me.
Okay. All right, I think I'm going to kiss that black and white cookie.
Kiss black and white cookie.
You know that black and white cookie? Yeah, it's kind of like a Lofthouse cookie, but, you know, bigger and better.
They're not like, I'm
it's
not,
not like a cookie at
I'm
all.
Not
it's more like a cake.
I'm not sure they're a cookie. I think they're like a round, flat cake,
yeah,
which is fine. Like, I'm into
cake.
It. So
I love them black and white cookies.
Yeah.
I'm going to marry an Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up
normal
Oreo.
Oreo.
That's the one I want for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to kill a macaron. Don't put that near me anywhere.
Macaron or macaroon?
Macaroon. Sorry.
So I'm like, yeah, because like a coconut. You're not a...
I hate
that
cooked
flaked
coconut.
Up cooked coconut stuff. Yeah.
I like coconut milk.
Sure.
And like coconut flavoring is okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't like that texture at all. The coconut macaroon. Not a macaron. Macaron's fine.
It's fine.
It doesn't do anything.
Very expensive. Weirdly expensive for a very small...
I'd rather have an Oreo.
I'd rather have an Oreo.
Cookie.
And they're extremely inexpensive.
I'd rather have an Oreo cookie.
Catherine, to get to my top reply tweet of the week, it's going to take a while.
Oh, no.
So, PETA tweeted a bunch of alternative things you can say.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. Instead of anti-animal language. So, instead of saying kill two birds with one stone, you can say feed two birds with one scone. I don't know if it's tongue-in-cheek. Are they making fun of themselves? I'm not sure. Don't be the guinea pig, be the test tube. Don't beat a dead horse, feed a fed horse. Don't take the bull by the horns, take the flower by the thorns. Don't bring home the bacon, bring home the bagels. And Phil DeFranco said, I'm not sure what to do with this ridiculousness, so I'm making you have to deal with it too. He shares it with all his followers, and I say, I don't know, I'm pretty into bring home the bagels.
Bring home the bagels is good.
And that got 2,000 likes, but that's not my top reply tweet of the week. Because then John said, since we're discussing counterproductively pedantic language issues, that's a comma splice. And I said, Jesus, John, talk about feeding a fed horse. That's my top reply tweet of the week, Catherine.
Oh my god, that was a journey. Oh, I was never going to have known anything about any of that.
Yeah, and then it's like, it did better than most of my tweets do by a distance. And then John replied to that and said, damn it, Hank, you did it again on purpose, you weasel. I mean, not weasel, herbivorous miscreant, you herbivorous miscreant. Because I comma spliced both tweets.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I didn't even do it on purpose. He thought I did it on purpose. I just comma splice a lot.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I don't actually, I'm not 100% sure what it is.
Well, you're not writing a sentence. You're just saying what you'd say.
That's right. I don't know if I can
get it. I'm not trying to write a freaking novel up here on Twitter. Can I get some of that juice?
Juice? Oh, yeah, the power cord. Yes, you may. I was like, we don't have any juice, Catherine.
I am thirsty, though.
And then, Catherine, Project for Awesome begins, and my whole week gets way better. We move from Rudy Giuliani to reality again, to like people are good and they work together to make great things happen. And we don't just have to focus on the bad things that are going on in the world. And,
did you skip this?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It's not that interesting, it turns out.
Okay.
Why it happened. I clicked on a Bulgarian link.
Great.
And then I came back and I clicked on a link to Twitter from a Bulgarian link, and it kept the .bg in the thing. Mm. So I thought I was a Bulgarian. And I guess I was feeling good, because then Catherine and I tweeted this mess of just the command line from when I used to use DOS to open up all of my video games that I would play. And
I think
this,
I maybe did that once.
Opened a video game with command line?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I remember seeing my brother do it.
Yeah. Because
the computer was in his room.
Mm-hmm. This tweet did well with a very specific kind of person. And that's how I wanted it to go. It was really, really decidedly liked by men over the age of 35, and no one else.
Mm-hmm.
A few women as well, but mostly dudes. And that really sort of made it clear that the early ages of computer use was a very male experience, which we are still living through the effects of. December 6th, more excellent news, Catherine. Take that, John Green. This post is officially hashtag sponsored by @Metamucil. And so is this episode of SciShow about digestive health. Invest in your digestion. Hashtag ad. Hashtag sponsored. Hashtag finally.
Hashtag influencer status.
I mean, I've done branded content before.
Yeah.
I mean, never to this level of, like, devotion. And here's my top tweet of the week for some reason. If you as a child received a rabbit foot keychain, what year were you born? Trying to figure out when we stopped giving children random animal parts. Did not intend for this to be my top tweet of the week, but apparently it kept spreading to lots of people, and I had to mute it because I got so many answers, and I was trying to do Project for Awesome stuff, not look at people's years of birth.
Right.
It turns out that this continued for a real long time.
Huh.
And they even now in some places in America still have them, but they don't tend to actually be rabbit's foot. Mine was definitely an actual rabbit foot.
Yeah, I can't remember. I feel like I had both.
Yeah.
Like I had fake ones and
and
real ones. Or my brother had real ones and I had fake ones or something. There weren't a ton. We had like maybe three.
Well, that's a lot of rabbit feet.
Yeah, I guess.
How many rabbits? Like that's a whole rabbit of like almost. 3/4 of a rabbit of feet.
It's almost a whole rabbit of foot. almost all the feet of a rabbit.
I don't know what the like mythology of the lucky rabbit's foot is. It's just strange to me that tradition stretched on for long enough for there to have apparently been some kind of industry of collecting rabbit feet and putting them onto those little keychain things. And I remember being really surprised when I like looked and I was like, oh, it's little claws are in there. This wasn't like made in a manufacturing plant. It was like a foot on a live rabbit and I carried it around in my pocket.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Uh-huh. I never carried it around.
And then weirdly, they started like dyeing them colors. And I think I think they did that like specifically to separate it a little bit from the reality of the fact that this is a foot of an animal
yeah,
that was alive
once. We definitely
once.
Like had a whitish one.
Yeah.
and like a purple one.
Right. Purple and pink and green.
Yeah.
Very weird. But yeah, people responded and said, like, I had one. I was born in 1964. People responded and said, I was born in 1996 and I got one. There weren't a lot of people who responded saying that they were born in the 2000s, but at the same time, not a lot of my audience was born in the
2000s. Right, and they're...
So, but maybe
not,
now
they're not
has
as much
stopped.
On Twitter either, really.
Yeah. Oh, this person has one right there. They've got it. I didn't get one as a kid. I felt like I missed out, so I bought one from my local museum a few months ago. So they're still selling them at the at Crystal D's local museum.
What? I don't understand this.
I don't understand this either. And then Catherine, I've put a bunch of just good stuff from the Project for Awesome. I'm just putting it in the it in the show notes because I want it to be there because it's wonderful.
So much.
That crunched watermelon.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even see that. I did not spend a lot of time watching the Project for Awesome live stream.
You had things to do this year.
Did not spend a lot of time. Yeah.
That's okay.
Busy.
It was a real good time. We're putting together a recap video for you.
Oh, thanks.
Just for you. You'll see all the great moments.
That is nice.
You'll see me split my lip open on a freaking watermelon.
Great. I'm looking forward to dealing with that.
But Catherine, because I was spent all that time on the Project for Awesome, every time I sort of thought of a tweet I should tweet, I was like, I can't tweet about that right now. Project for Awesome's happening.
Right.
I can't change the subject. I can't focus on like things in the world that aren't this wonderfulness.
Yeah.
And so I just drafted them. It's time for draft reads from Hank Green. It's tweets that I didn't tweet. I didn't draft. There's quite a few of this week as draft tweets from Hank.
I have no idea. That started out wrong. Wow.
I appreciate your commitment. Some of these I totally will tweet, and I can tweet. And like, for example, Tooth's Gotta Eat. I'm just going to go ahead and tweet Tooth's Gotta Eat. This person says, why the hell does this tooth also have teeth?
Hmm.
It's a picture of a tooth that's smiling and it's got a bunch of teeth. And I said, tooth's gotta eat.
I guess.
Go ahead and tweet that draft tweet. But a more accurate example would be, fascism is way dumber than I thought it would be. Or, secretive awards shows hosting. They pay next to nothing. You get destroyed in the press if it goes bad. Mostly ignored if it goes well. It's a ton of work and rehearsal and stress. Often with not a great writing team. I have no idea why anyone does it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drafted this draft tweet. I feel like one of the things you really learn while doing meditation is the importance of sharing your experience and how neat and cool and important it was on Twitter and how everyone else could solve a lot of their problems if only they could go on a 10-day retreat to Myanmar, which is what the freaking CEO of Twitter did. He tweeted this, like, huge, like, 20-tweet thread about his meditation retreat.
Oh, my God.
In a place that was, like, recently...
Civil war?
Yeah, well, worse than.
Yeah, okay.
Ejecting Muslims from its country through,
right,
like,
right. Genociding.
Burning towns and killing people. Oh, God, I read the whole thing. I was just like, one after the next tweet, I was like, are you for real? Are you for real? He's just talking about how much you, and I'm just like, how are you the CEO of this platform? How have we gotten in this situation?
I've been reading a few articles about how meditation can cause some serious side effects for people who don't do it. Who do it properly, but don't do it under the proper guidance.
Hmm. Okay.
It can send people into, like, terrible thought spirals.
Wow.
And literally become completely disconnected from their lives because, like, that's kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
And feel like there's no point to anything in life. And
so, yeah.
It's extremely challenging. It's like, let me just play with this brain thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me just play around with this brain thing. And it's like just another one of these things where, like, we have cherry-picked something
out of its
cultural relevance.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, I could make that work for me. And then we're like, oh, actually, I probably should have left this in its context where, like, there are gurus,
yeah,
and it's part of a freaking lifestyle you completely dedicate yourself to.
Right.
And because it's part of a religion.
Yeah.
Like, that's not...
Yeah, and...
It's not self-help.
And there's something very appealing about, like, this potential path that was, like, carried down through generations and discovered through, you know, maybe something even semi-mystical.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Yeah. I mean, it's yoga's the same thing.
Yeah, that you can tap into and bring into your life and enrich your life and, like... But without all of that extra baggage.
Yeah, you don't need to take note of the generations of spiritual context.
Mm-hmm. Or even, like, bother considering that and the, you know... And the implications of our...
Yeah, and how, like, decontextualizing it will impact how it works and how it impacts your life.
This is a great example of how oftentimes we, like, these trends go in waves where it's like, oh, we found this thing that it's great, it works so well, and then it's like, well, actually, it works in some cases and doesn't work in other cases, and sometimes it can actually be harmful, and we have to just be careful, and that is why we do studies, and that is why medicine is important and why scientific rigor is important, and science, like, and I'm not saying that there's no scientific basis that meditation can help people. It absolutely can. But it is an important thing to study and also to, you know, if it is a powerful tool, then it should be used carefully. Like that's something that we run across over and over again.
Yes.
Like when we find a new thing that's like, you know, it's non-traditional science. People are like, this is amazing. It's extremely powerful. It's helping me so much. And then it's like, well, if it actually is having an effect, then it needs to become traditional medicine. It needs to be brought into the tradition of, like, rigor and testing and making sure that it is used properly.
I mean,
and
scientific, you know.
Yeah. Science.
Science. Yeah. Not traditional medicine.
I said traditional medicine. Mm-hmm. I guess that's different.
Yeah.
When I say traditional medicine, I mean my tradition.
Tradition. The one I grew up with. See?
But I feel like that of all the things to come back from your meditation retreat with is like,
right,
to just tweet about it a bunch. I'm sure that that's exactly what they were hoping you learned.
I mean, it all, yeah, everybody's coming at it from wherever they are.
Uh-huh.
You can only see things from your own very specific platform that you're standing on.
Yeah, well...
Mm-hmm.
Jack's got a very specific platform. He started it. It's his, and it must be a complicated relationship, I'm sure. I also drafted this tweet: humans have to do something before we can understand it, which I think is maybe not for Twitter. It might just be a video idea. 5 hours ago, I tweeted this: forget Cyber Monday. It's Sun Sunday, the day of the sun who brings us life without whom we'd freeze before we had the chance to starve. Every moment of joy your life has contained is only possible because of its fusion-powered warmth. Praise!
Perfect. Good. Good beginning of our sun cult.
So I like to...
Put that in the holy book. what is the Holy Sun Cult book called?
Yeah. I don't know. You guys can
send us suggestions.
Hashtag Pipples.
Use the hashtag Pipples. This is the... We're just outsourcing our cult.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that will...
It
has to be a...
Crowdsourced?
Yeah.
Crowdsourced cult?
It has to be a community-based endeavor, Catherine.
Sure.
You can't just come up with a cult on your own.
No.
That's
not how cults work, right?
I also like this... I tweeted this because there was an ad in the sidebar that was like, forget Cyber Monday, it's Social Sunday. And I was like,
oh, God, stop.
One, we're just getting a little bit over with the naming of the days.
Right.
Two, I think that we should spend more time indulging in non-consumerist celebrations. Generally.
That would be nice.
So, you know, on Sun Sunday, you just use praise.
Praise.
You don't have to buy anything. There's no candles.
Hank.
What?
That's what church is.
That's a good point, Catherine.
You heard a church, right?
I have. Do they do the sun stuff?
Depends.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I haven't been to church in a while, but I don't remember them talking about the sun specifically unless it was, like, relevant to...
Oftentimes behind the heads of the people, there's a lot of glowing.
Yeah, there's glowing.
Is that the sun?
Maybe.
Do they all have the sun inside
of
them?
That's the Holy Spirit.
Is that the sun?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't actually know if the halo is the Holy Spirit or not. I don't know what the...
I take it back. Yeah. We take it back.
We take it
back. It's been a while.
We don't know anything.
We need to bone up.
I think it's...
Is that the wrong phrase? is that not what they say?
Oh, no. I mean, that is a phrase. I'm just not... Okay. I'm just not a fan of it.
Of boning up? Mm-hmm. Or the phrase, to bone up?
Yes.
Yes. 35 minutes ago, Catherine, I tweeted this. I tweeted a dumb thing regarding the Paris riots, which are, of course, about much more than fuel prices. Bad tweet, deleted. My point was supposed to be that dealing with climate change will not be easy, and I'm tired of my buds pretending it will be. It was the wrong way to make that point. So, deleted.
Hey. Great job.
Took responsibility from my dumb tweet.
Yep.
I think the tweet, if you're curious, went something like this. People, why don't we just deal with climate change? Jeez, France. Okay, how about a 25-cent per gallon fuel tax? Also France. And then the headline about how they've rescinded the fuel tax because of the riots. One, this is more kind of like the riots are about more than fuel tax. Two, right. Fuel tax is a pretty big deal. And like the cost of fuel in France is a big deal and affects some people a lot more than it does others. And a lot of people who I don't know that are feeling particularly like they are considered by their leaders might be feeling a little bit like, boy, you sure did raise my taxes. Maybe it doesn't affect people in Paris, but like there's people in other places in this country. And also like it is really hard to fix. So like no matter if you're trying to make the emission of carbon dioxide more expensive, it is going to raise the prices of consumer goods. And people are like, oh, the corporations are just going to pass it on. Yeah. Yeah, like they are going to try and continue to make the same amount of money they were making before. That was a really long fart.
I think you're maybe going to have to say that thing again without the fart underneath it. Oh.
How's it? Is it okay?
No. It's probably all that crunching.
Probably.
You're not supposed to eat those parts, Hank. God.
Sorry, France. Having an important discussion about you. Here's my top tweet from 5 years ago. Just once, I want a boy band to get popular that's composed entirely of 50-year-old men. Is that too much to ask for? Yes, this is a bad tweet. Why did everybody like that?
It's a terrible tweet.
It's not great.
Like, nobody... But
I don't want that.
What do 50-year-old men have to offer?
I don't want that. And I understand why it doesn't happen. And it is too much to ask for. Like, what was I thinking? And also all the people who liked this tweet, what were you thinking? Also the 232 people who responded. Ratios were so different back then.
Totally.
So many people responded to every tweet.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't, like Megan Tonjes replied to that and said, let's make it happen.
Wow.
Catherine, are you ready for some viral moments of joy?
I am so ready, Hank.
All right. First, we have this gate that this person has.
Going into a gate.
It's a gate. He's opening a gate.
Don't go in there. There's dinosaurs back there.
She got it. She got it on the first try. So I've discovered that my gate sounds like Jurassic Park.
I don't want to go back there. There are my dinosaurs in there. Close it.
Close the gate.
Close that gate.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not very big. Are they big dinosaurs? Maybe they're little ones.
Maybe they're just the friendly ones.
Are they like the goose-sized ones? And then I have this video of a man doing competitive canoe. And Joel Tyler says, it is highly unlikely that any of us will ever achieve the contentment or self-actualization of this man performing in a freestyle canoe competition. And you know what? That's okay. There is audio in this.
Wait, is he really doing his freestyle canoe competition to this song?
Yes.
Oh, that does add to it.
Lady in red.
a
dancing with me.
Tuxedo vest.
Yeah, he's wearing a tuxedo vest.
But no jacket. Because obviously that would be too binding.
Oh my God. Oh. Oh, take me for a ride, Giorgio.
That's delightful. I wish they would zoom out a little bit so that I could see like what the what
audience
he was,
looks like.
No, and like what he was ascribing onto the surface of the lake.
Oh, you want to see what he's written? What I was surprised by was when they do scroll over, there's a lot of people watching. It's a very large audience to this canoe competition.
I mean, sometimes you don't have much going on. Where you live.
Oh, look at that big fatty paddle. He's got a big fatty paddle.
You probably got to have one of those to do freestyle canoe.
Yeah, I'm sure. Thank you.
That's impressive.
It's super impressive. What do you think that guy's name is?
Reginald.
Reggie?
Joffrey?
Joffrey seems likely. Let's see if I can find it on YouTube. Maybe it'll tell me. His name is Mark with a C.
Okay. I accept that.
And I thought it was going to be... I don't know why, but I thought it was going to be in the UK. But no. Of course not. It's in the Midwest.
Yeah, I thought it was like Wisconsin or something.
Yup. This video has been claimed by Chris DeBerg.
Yeah, that's
the
too bad.
Composer of Lady in Red. Let me read you the description of this video.
Please.
American freestyle canoeing is the art of paddling a canoe on flat water with the perfect control of its movements. The canoe is usually leaned over to the side to help the boat turn sharply and efficiently, and paddle strokes are taken on either side of the canoe depending on the individual move. Balance, paddle placement, and turn initiation are a few keys to this control. Since the movements seem dance-like, some practice this art timed to music, which is the ultimate in control.
Amazing.
Thank you, Mark Ornstein. You sound as if you are from Wisconsin.
Is that all the viral moments for me?
That's all we got, Catherine. It's time to read some reviews from our listeners before we get to some great tweets from good people on Twitter. Probably just birds' rights activists. This first review comes from Gray Warren. 10 out of 10 excellent content. You want to read it for me?
I have officially listened to this podcast for 2 entire workdays in a row. It's the perfect balance of nonsense and hilarity and important observations or complex conversations. Sometimes also there's cats.
Ooh.
Cameos are my favorite. This podcast is excellent company. Well, that's nice.
Thank you.
I don't know what you do for work, but...
I'm glad that you can podcast listen while you're doing
it. Uh-huh. Sounds great.
This next one's from Tree Daisy, who just says, nuts! Aren't those nuts just the best? Because they like the, yeah.
There's some down there, actually.
There's
like
still
I
there's some
those.
in the fridge.
Pantry.
Cupboard. Those nuts are the best. Thank you, Tree Daisy. They're real good nuts.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, everybody, for your reviews. If you want to see what we talked about this week, you can check out the show notes. They're at DeleteThisPod on Twitter. And if you would like to send us questions, comments, or viral moments of joy, you can use the hashtag Pipples. That's P-I-P-L-E-S. Thank you to everybody who sent us viral moments of joy and questions and comments and thoughts and all of that. Thank you to Andrew Huang for the use of his track Everything Will Be All Right from his album Love and Desolation. And thank you all so much for listening.
Later.
That was a little one. Oh my God, Catherine, tell me all about it.
It's even relevant.
Uh-huh.
So birds' rights activist, along the lines of the PETA anti-animal language list, says, instead of saying kill two birds with one stone, say put one bird on the throne. Instead of flip him the bird, say flip pancakes for the burb. Instead of his goose is cooked, say goose is excellent chef. Instead of honey wash the windows, say windows are a humanarchical anti-burb construct that must be dismantled and replaced with pine cones covered in pentab butter. Instead of birds aren't real, say communist lies.
Communist lies. Thank you, Burb. Oh, God. I love it, but at the same time, I'm like, Peter, why are you making everybody all controversied up?
Yeah, that's what they do.
And the thing is, you can feed a fed horse. Sometimes horses will eat way too much. You know this.
Yeah, you have to stop them from eating too much.
Yeah, don't feed a fed horse.
Isn't that what they said? Don't feed a fed horse? They don't say don't feed a dead horse.
Don't feed a dead
horse. Don't feed a fed horse?
Yeah, but it's not like because it's not doing any good. Oh. Or it's not doing it. Like, if you beat a dead horse, the horse is dead. It's not doing anything. If you feed a fed horse, you might kill the horse.
Right.
Maybe that's what you should do.
Kill the horse?
I'm unclear on why we're beating the horse.
True.
Why are we beating any horse? I guess it's a good point. PETA's got a point. Why are we punching a horse, alive or dead? How's my tooth's got to eat tweet going, Catherine?
Not great.
424 in 30 minutes? I don't know. I have no idea if that's good or not. How do I know whether I'm a valid, necessary part of the human equation, Catherine? Is 424 likes, is that how I know?
No, that's not it.
Is it kisses?
That's part it.
That's part it.
Are we done?
Yes.